I'm pulling in my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, guys, today we are talking evasion. So what is evasion? Why is it important? So evasion is the term that R&D uses to talk about anything that helps you get through what we call board stall to get to your opponent. So one of the inherent things, so magic is built pretty cool. You know, there's a mana system that over time things get bigger and bigger, and so the game evolves. But one of the inherent problems as the game evolves, as the board, the battlefield evolves, is you start what we're calling board lock. Like you start, like, at some point, I have enough creatures and you have enough creatures that it starts becoming hard for one of us to attack each other. And the reason is, one of the sort of core things of magic is, it just turns out it's a little easier to be defensive than offensive. That, you know, because the opponent blocking gets to choose how they block, there's a lot of advantages to blocking. And that one of the things that's really challenging is, in order to attack, you have to have a worthwhile attack. And so there are, you know, sometimes my attack is good because my things are bigger than your things. And even if you block my things, my big things will destroy your small things. There are reasons that even with, you know, sort of a board stall, that you can attack under certain circumstances. But in general, there often comes a point where strategically, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to attack into your opponent's forces. But we want the game to end. So one of our truisms for game design is your game needs to progress in a way that it will end, that you want inertia. In fact, I did a podcast once called 10 Games Everything Needs, and one of the items was inertia. Your game has to end, that the natural state of your game has to push your game toward ending, and that is very important. So board stall really doesn't keep the game from ending. It slows the game down. So that's where evasion comes in. You want to make sure that there's going to keep being attacks. Okay, so let's go back to Alpha. Richard Garfield, creator of Magic the Gathering, did understand this. And from the very, very beginning, evasion was baked in to the very beginning. So let's go back and talk about what was there since Alpha. So first and foremost, probably the most important evasion ability is flying. I've often talked about flying. This might be the best magic mechanic of all time for a couple reasons. One is it's just very intuitive. If I have a creature that flies and I say, can your non-flying creature block my flying creature? You go, no, it's flying. It's up in the air. I'm not up in the air. I can't block it. So it's very, very intuitive, meaning when I teach someone how flying works, they almost instantaneously get it. The flavor is such a perfect match. And in general, mostly what it does is it says there's a second sort of, I don't know if battlefield is the right word, but there's a second area of battle, right? There's the ground, but then there's the air. And the cool thing about the air is if I have flyers and you have flyers, they can interact with each other. But it sort of lessens the number of creatures. Like, one of the real challenges when you're looking at board stall is just the number of creatures. Like, oh, I have 6 creatures. He has 7 creatures. Like, just trying to do the math and figure out all the possibilities is a lot. But by flying, some of the time I will fly and you don't, and then that's just damage that's getting through. And some of the time I will have a flyer and you will have a flyer, but if we each have one flyer, you know, the calculations, like if I have a 3-3 and you have a 2-2, well, I can attack my 3-3, your 2-2, you know, without tricks can't stop me. And so flying has proven to be super important. Flying is in every set. Flying is on more, like, as a higher as fan than most evergreen keywords do. It's primary in white and blue, secondary in black, tertiary in red and green. Meaning every color gets some amount of flying. Green gets the least. I mean, white and blue get the most. Green gets the least. Red is weird in that it tends to have, like, dragons and things and phoenixes. It has less of, like, little small flyers. But the idea is it's something that can show up everywhere. And the idea that a lot of the iconic creatures, angels, white's iconic, flies. Blue, sphinxes often fly. Red, dragons almost always fly. And black is demon. Demons can fly. They don't always fly. Green's hydras don't normally fly. So green's the one whose iconic doesn't fly. But the fact that white and blue and red mostly fly, and black sometimes flies, you know, just show that there's, you know, the idea of having a big giant creature that eventually can come out and help win the game and that be a flyer is very valuable. And so flying has existed from the very beginning. There's only one set where we didn't have flying. Little trivia question. What is the one Magic set that didn't have flying? And the answer is Portal 3 Kingdoms. So what happened was Portal 3 Kingdoms was the third of the Portal series. Portal was sort of a simplified version of Magic meant to teach people Magic. And we were trying to get into the Asian market, especially China. And so we decided to make an entry-level product, Portal, that was geared to a very famous story in Asia, the Three Kingdoms. And so we made Portal 3 Kingdoms. The challenge there, though, was there wasn't a lot of things in the Three Kingdoms, the story of Three Kingdoms, that flew. There were some dragons, there were a few things, but most things didn't fly. And so the problem was, you know, Henry Stern, who led the set, knew he needed evasion. So what he came up with was the thing called horsemanship. So horsemanship is essentially a renamed flying. It's flying exactly as you know flying, but it is renamed to call horsemanship. The idea being up on horses, you know, if you're not on a horse, it's hard to stop somebody up on a horse is the idea. And Henry really was just trying to recreate flying. The weird thing about those cards is because that's the only set with horsemanship, barring a few minor exceptions. It's essentially unblockable because no one else has horsemanship. Flying also, by the way, to show how, like, core flying is, that flying is the only evasive keyword to have another keyword solely about being able to block it, which is reach. Obviously, Alpha had Giant Spider, which inherently had reach. It wasn't actually a keyword until Future Sight. One of the Future Shifted cards showed off Reach. And we made Reach solely to make it easier to write the flying reminder text on a card. So we can now, I can only be blocked by creatures with flying and Reach. Okay. The one other time that we did pseudo-flying was in the Tempest. We did an ability called Shadow. And Shadow is a lot like flying, except, when we do flying, we have a subcategory of flying that we call high flying. And what high flying means is, I'm a flyer, but because I'm so high in the air, I can only block other flyers. I can't block non-flyers. And it's a downside we put on flyers. So Shadow is kind of like high flying. So the way Shadow works is, creatures with Shadow can only block and only be blocked by other creatures with Shadow. So it's a lot like, it's similar to the way that horsemanship function. And a creature that has Shadow is mostly unblockable outside the limited environment where the creatures had Shadow. In Tempest Limited, Shadow, you know, there's a second sort of area, much like flying, or a third, I guess, because flying didn't exist. But outside of that, when people use it now, most people don't have Shadow, so essentially it's unblockable. The one big difference, and why I compare it to high flying, is Shadow creatures can't block normal creatures. Flying creatures normally can. If I have a 1-1 flyer that's getting through, but you're about to win by attacking with a 6-6, well, I can chump block with my 1-1 flyer. I can't do that with high flyers. I can't do that with Shadow. So that's a little bit different. Why have we not done more horsemanships and Shadows? We actually did talk about that. One of the things that has come up in Universes Beyond is a lot of Universes Beyond properties don't necessarily have a lot of flying. And the reason is, you know, when we make a Magic set, we make sure there's enough flyers because we need it. We need it functionally for Magic. But most IPs, that's not a big, you know, they're not thinking about Magic gameplay. So a lot of things, you know, especially things that are centered, some of our properties that are, you know, more centered in people acting it out or something, there's just less flying that tends to go on. So one of the challenges we have in Universes Beyond is just dealing with evasion in the sense that there's just a lack of flying. And you'll notice in something like, you know, The Lord of the Rings, like, oh, there's this bird that was referenced once in one, you know, like we're really digging deep to find things that can fly. So we did talk about whether or not we wanted to make sort of a UB-friendly ability. I forget what we called it, but the idea was it would be an ability that says I can only be blocked by people with disability or reach or flying, I think was how we looked at it. So the idea is, essentially, anything that can deal with flying can deal with this. Reach and flying can deal with this. So it's not unblockable to anything else other than just this type of thing. But we ended up deciding we didn't need it. Maybe one day we will need it. But we did walk through and talk about, do we want to have this special evasion with a new word that's more, that to solve the problem of the flying issue in some universes beyond properties. We haven't pulled that. We did talk about it. We sort of have it in our back pocket if we need it. We haven't needed it yet. Okay, the other evasive abilities in Alpha. So First Strike. So First Strike, the idea of First Strike obviously is when I deal damage to my opponent, I deal damage before they deal damage. So this is an interesting thing. Flying, when I say it's evasive, literally part of it is you can't block me if. First Strike is not that. First Strike, anybody can block a First Strike creature. The issue with First Strike is, can you survive blocking a First Strike creature? So for example, if I have a 3-1 First Striker, that means unless you have a creature with power, with toughness 4 or greater, you're essentially going to chump block my creature. My creature will kill your creature without you killing my creature. And the reason that is valuable and the reason we think of that as evasion is, if I have a board state, let's say, for example, I have a 3-1 First Striker, and you have no creatures with power 4, toughness, no creatures with toughness 4 or greater, if I attack, there's no threat for attacking on my part. That I mean, once again, barring tricks, but there, I feel free to attack. You can't stop me. And because you know your creature's going to die, you're more likely to let it through, especially early on when you have more life. So First Strike's a good thing where it allows me to attack. I mean, and the whole point of evasion is I want to get through board stall. First Strike can help get through board stall, because if you can't block and kill it, then you're less inclined to want to block it. And that is pretty valuable. First Strike did eventually beget Double Strike. So Double Strike came about. In fact, Double Strike is the one evergreen keyword not invented by Richard Garfield or a member of R&D. Not invented by someone who was eventually a member of R&D. The person who designed first Double Strike, I don't even know their name. When we did the first You Design the Card Mr. Baby Cakes, ended up calling Forgotten Ancient. The playtest name was Mr. Baby Cakes. When we were getting submissions for that card, somebody sent in a submission for Double Strike. Now, green makes no sense for that ability. Green doesn't have First Strike. Double Strike's in the same colors, white and red, that have First Strike. But we liked it so much, the next opportunity we had to use it, we did. And we've used it ever since. So Double Strike is like First Strike. It's similar in the way that you can't deal with my creature, but Double Strike gets to deal its damage twice. Once during First Strike, once during Normal Strike. And so it's even more threatening, because if you let it through, it does a lot of damage. But both First Strike and Double Strike are good examples of sort of threats that keep your opponent from blocking it so that you can get through. Neither First Strike or Double Strike will, usually without help, they won't be the decisive blow. Like, if your opponent has creatures, they will block eventually. But the reason you might win with First Strike or Double Strike is, I get rid of the things blocking me, then there's nothing blocking me, now I can hit you. Okay, the next, the one other thing, speaking of Strike, there is another Strike variant, or two other Strike variants. I did a thing called Last Strike in the Unsets. Last Strike is the opposite of First Strike. That means, instead of me doing my damage before my opponent does my damage, it does it after my opponent does the damage. And then, because Triple Strike exists in the Unsets, I was able to make Triple Strike, which is you do damage first, main, and last, is the idea. A lot of people ask us, why do we don't do Last Strike in normal Magic? And the answer is, the way that damage is written, the way the combat is written, does not take into account Last Strike. It would be a major rewriting of the rules. And so the question is it worth it? And the answer is no. Last Strike actually is pretty weak. I don't think we'd use Last Strike a lot. I've used it a little bit in Unsets, but it is surprisingly weak. A creature with Last Strike really can barely form to attack. You have to be pretty big to even, and even then, you can be double blocked and stuff. Triple Strike is pretty cool. But even then, we wouldn't use triple strike that much. So, so last strike does exist. It is something we occasionally do on, you know, silver border / acorn cards. Okay, the next thing that Richard Garfield did, evasive-wise, was protection. Oh, not protection, sorry, I jumped ahead. Trample. We'll get to protection in a second. Trample. So, flying, first strike, and trample, and protection somewhat, but the first three are all still evergreen abilities. Trample says, basically, if I do damage to the creature, any excess damage I would do beyond their toughness, I get it due to the player, to their controller. So trample is a nice way to help larger things get through. The interesting thing about trample is it's evasion in the sense that it helps get damage through, but it is interesting in that really it's meant for larger creatures, so creatures with higher power. And the idea is that it helps get some through. Like if I want to get a giant creature to be a finisher, this is where trample came from. Richard wanted to make some big creatures because one of the fun things about magic is to make, you know, when you get up to high amounts of mana, you want to make big creatures. But the problem is if I just make big creatures and there's enough board stall that I can't even attack with them, that's not much fun. So Richard made stuff. I mean, A, they're big. Big creatures do undo board stall in the sense that if I'm big enough that you have to block with enough creatures to stop my creature, you know, I'm going to eradicate most of your board. Like, you know, if I have an 8-8 and you have to block with three creatures on my 8-8, I've done a lot to clean up your board and make it easier for me to get through. But trample's nice because if Richard put trample on big creatures, even if you chumped the big creatures, the big creatures still did some damage. One of the big problems with big creatures can be, well, my 1-1 can keep you from hitting me. And if I, over time, have built up enough small things in the early game, when I get to the late game, I have a little bit of fodder that I can sacrifice. Well, if you get your giant thing and I can just keep throwing my little things in front of it, it really lessens the value of the big things. So, Richard came up with Trample, and Trample was sort of said, well, I'm big, and I really need you to block me with bigger things, not with little tiny. If you block me with little tiny things, you're not really stopping me too much. You know, if I have a 6-6 trample, you block with a 1-1, okay, you're stopping with 1 point, but I'm still getting through for 5. Now, trample has stuck around. Trample does have, it's not as easy to understand. The concept of trample is not hard. It's not like you don't understand, oh, I trample over. People understand the general concept. There's just a lot of interaction with trample that can be a little bit confusing. For example, most people don't understand how death touch works with trample. I'll get a death touch in a sec. But, like, what happens when I have other abilities? It can be confusing. How does it work with protection? There's a lot of... Trample's understood... Like, the base case is understood of trample. But as soon as you get a little more complex, it can be a little trickier. Okay, which gets us into protection. So protection is sort of deciduous now. So protection has 4 abilities. One of the abilities which matters for today is I cannot be blocked by creatures of the color that I protection from, or of the quality I protection from. Could be a color, could be protection from creatures, or protection from a certain mana cost or whatever. And so if I have protection from something and your creature has that quality, you can't block me. So protection is another means to get through. Let's say I'm going up against, I'm a white deck and going up against a red deck. Oh, if I get a creature protection from red, that can get through. The reason protection is deciduous and not evergreen right now is it really is 4 different abilities stapled together. I think it's DET, I think is the acronym. Basically, the idea is you can't be damaged, you can't be enchanted or equipped, or if counters put on you, we know a lot of counters of that color. You can't be blocked, and you can't be targeted. That's what DET, D-E-B-T. So it's just a lot to remember. We do it, and it's flavorful, but there's a lot going on, and it's hard to deal sometimes with protection creatures. So we use it, but sparingly. Okay, there was one other evasion creature built into Alpha, but we do not do it anymore. But let's walk through that, which is Land Walk. And when I say Land Walk, there actually, I believe in Alpha, there is Forest Walk and Island Walk and Swamp Walk. There later would be Mountain Walk and Plains Walk. I don't think Alpha has either of those. So the idea of Land Walk is I am so well ingrained. I understand forests or islands or swamps or whatever so well that if my opponent has them, I can sneak through them and they can't stop me. So if I have Swamp Walk, as long as my opponent has a swamp, I'm unblockable. And then once again, this is Richard trying to find other ways to get creatures through. I got where he got there from the flavor standpoint. The reason we ended up retiring Landwalk is it's very hit or miss. Meaning, if my opponent's playing, you know, I have a Forest Walk, and my opponent is playing green and has some forests, there's not really much answer. I mean, other than destroying the creature, there's no creature answer to it. You just can't block. And blowing up your own forest is just not practical. There's just not a real answer to dealing with Forest Walk. So the reality is, if I have Forest Walk and you have forest, wow, I'm unblockable. But if I have Forest Walk and you don't have forest, I'm a bad creature, right? And so it really was a feast or famine problem where we want our evasion to be a little more consistent. So in Alpha, Flying First Strike, Trample, Protection, Landwalk. Those were the abilities that were in Alpha. There are some more abilities in Alpha that were not named at the time, that were not keywords, but were evasion abilities. So one was Fear on a card called Fear, and Fear was an aura at the time, and it said, enchanted creature can only be blocked by black or artifact creatures. And the idea was, Fear was weird because I'm making things fearful. I'm fearsome or whatever. And so only black creatures that are used to scary things, or artifact creatures that are mostly emotionless and aren't scared, can block me. We would later turn Fear into a keyword called Fear, which is, once again, a little weird because it's representing something that makes people afraid. And Fear had a similar problem to Landwalk in that it was like, if my opponent is playing black, well, they can block me. If they're not, they mostly can't. The artifact thing was nice. Any deck can play artifact creatures. So that was the one thing that at least allowed some answers. But a lot of times you just didn't have artifact creatures. And so we ended up changing Fear to an ability called Intimidate. So Intimidate was you can only be blocked by creatures that share a color with me or artifact creatures. So kind of Fear, but adjusted. It was weird if I put Fear on a red creature, well, you can't be blocked by black creatures. But now, Intimidate on red creatures means I can only be blocked by red creatures or creatures with, or artifact creatures. Intimidate basically had the same problem that Fear did. It was a little broader, but still had the same basic problem. So eventually, it got replaced by Menace. Menace first showed up, I believe, in Fallen Empires on Goblin War Drums was the name. And basically, this wasn't a granted ability to all your creatures, I think. But the idea of Menace is, I must be blocked by two or more creatures. And the reason Menace has proven to be a really good evasive keyword is it is something your opponent can do. Now, if you only have one creature, you can't block my creature. Great. In early games, allows things to get through. Or if you attack and only leave one creature behind, my Menace creature can get through. But it's something in which my opponent has, they can interact with it. If I have Landwalk or Fear and they're just not having the right color, there's nothing they can do about it. But if I have Menace, they can go, oh, well, I will not block with these two creatures and leave them back, and now I can answer Menace. And Menace is nice because Menace makes things harder to block. And as you put Menace on bigger things, once again, the key to any kind of evasion is kind of chopping up the battlefield to say, well, not everything can block this. And so when I'm doing my math on figuring things out, I'm like, well, only this can block that. Or, you know, it sort of lessens what can happen. And Menace has proven to be really good in that regard. Probably Menace, of all the current keywords, the keyword that I think is the best sort of not alpha keywords that we added to the game, I think Menace is up there. And there's other stuff like Haste is really good, although Haste did exist in alpha, just it was written out and not named. Okay. There is a few keyword abilities that have an evasive quality to them, but not ones that were in alpha, but we added later. So I talked about how in Future Sight, we added in Reach for the first time. Well, there was another ability we added then, Death Touch. Now, once again, Death Touch was based on an ability that kind of showed up in alpha. Alpha had, I guess I didn't go through all the alpha abilities. Alpha did have a couple other abilities. Let me run through that before I get to Death Touch. Alpha did have the Basilisk and the Cockatrice. So it had an ability that says, if you block me and you're not a wall, you get destroyed. So that discouraged you from attacking. It had dwarven warriors had what we nicknamed tunneling, and that allows you to make a creature with power 2 or less unblockable. So that's a good ability where it's making evasion, but it doesn't have evasion, but it can grant evasion, but only the small things. So it helps you get through, but it's more contained. The other thing that shows up in Alpha, I believe in Alpha, is Can't Be Blocked. That's another ability. We did talk about keywording Can't Be Blocked during Future Sight. The problem is unblockable, which is what you would call it. In order to write a keyword, you have to have, it has to rep an exact set of words. And the problem was we do unblockable a lot of different ways, and it just didn't work well. So we changed unblockable to can't be blocked so people would stop confusing it as a keyword. Unblockable really sounded like a keyword when it technically wasn't. And it matters in some corner cases. So can't be blocked was there. The other thing that showed up, I guess not in Alpha, but early on, is like tappers. Like, I think Mirage had the first tapper. Was a decoy. The idea is a creature that you can tap to tap creatures. That's another common thing we do now. Normally it requires mana, and the idea is you have to spend some resources to tap things. Sometimes we do it when the creature attacks, it can tap something. Sometimes we do creatures that when I attack, target creature can't block, or I activate and target creature can't block. What we call panic, sort of in red. So, and once again, that wasn't an Alpha, but it showed up shortly in the first couple of years of Magic, it showed up. So there are a lot of abilities like that, things in which it's not a keyword baked onto the creature, but there's things that creatures can do that help either let themselves or something else be hard to block. Okay, which brings us to Death Touch. So in Future Sight, we decided we wanted to take a bunch of abilities we were doing a lot of and consolidate them. So Reach shows up there, Shroud, which will later become Hexproof, shows up there, Lifelink shows up there, and Death Touch. So Death Touch is a lot like First Strike in that it just makes your opponent reevaluate whether you want to block it. If I have a creature with Death Touch, it means you know for sure anything blocking it will die. So if I attack with a 1-1 with Death Touch, for example, you can block it, but if you don't have something small, like maybe if you have a 1-1, you're more than willing to block my 1-1. But if your smallest creature is a 3-3 or 4-4, do you really want to trade that with my 1-1? Maybe you don't. And it's only doing one damage, so maybe you let that through. So Death Touch is kind of the pseudo-evasion in that it encourages your opponent at times to not block, which can get damage through. The other thing that's also sort of sideways evasion, Indestructible. So Indestructible says, I'm not going to die in combat. Meaning if I attack with an indestructible creature, and sometimes the indestructible creature might be indestructible, activated indestructible, or a spell made it indestructible. We do put indestructible on creatures, but not very often as a base ability. But the idea is if I can't die, you know, if you can't block me and not have your creature die, you're discouraged from blocking me. So Death Touch and Indestructible both have that sort of encourages evasion. It's not... Like I said, there's sort of straight invasion. I explain why you can't block me. Something about this creature says you can't block me unless, or you can't block me. You know, like there's conditions by which you can't block me. Sort of supportive invasion is the idea of, well, you can block me, but I can make situations where you don't want to block me. And that also counts for evasion because, you know, really what we're trying to do is we want a mix of things to help get you through. A few other things another ability that we use a lot these days, didn't start in Alpha, is ability we nicknamed Daunt. What Daunt says is, I can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. It's sort of a simpler version of Trample. One of the things about Trample is, I'm a big creature, it's not really efficient at blocking with small creatures. Daunt is kind of something similar, just a little easier to understand, which is, well, small things can't block me. So if you have a bunch of 1/1, 2/2s and I have a creature with Daunt, hey, I can attack. So it is a means by which I could get through. Some other abilities. Oh, we also have done what we nicknamed Nimble. Nimble's the opposite of Daunt. Nimble just says, I can't be blocked by big things. And normally we put that on little creatures, the idea that I'm nimble and I get by and the big things aren't fast enough to deal with me. So we do that from time to time. We've had a few keywords that have been evasive keywords. I talked about Shadow already. So let's talk a little bit about Skulk. So Skulk showed up in Shadows of Innistrad. When I made Skulk, and I actually originally made Skulk to think maybe Skulk would be a cool evergreen ability. I actually made it thinking it might be evergreen. The idea of Skulk is I can't be blocked by anything that's bigger than me. And the idea that's kind of cool is that oftentimes when you have an evasive ability, if you when you put things on it that make it bigger, you know, it's a little more dangerous because it's able to get through. The idea with Skulk was, well, if you make the Skulk creature bigger, more things can deal with it, more things can block it. Like, for example, we had a card called Invisible Man in original Innistrad, and it was unblockable, and it was, I think it was, can't be targeted, I think it had hexproof. So the point is, if you could stick on an aura on it, or an equipment on it, and make it really big, it definitely sort of, your opponent can't destroy it because it's hexproof, and it's hard, they can't block it, and so it is really hard to deal with, and so we're very more conscious of thinking about, we want evasion to happen, but we don't want to make it too easy for you to get giant things your opponent can't interact with. The problem with Skulk, the reason Skulk did not become evergreen, was it required a little bit more math. It requires what we call, you have to compare, right? That when I attack, okay, how big's your thing? How big are my things? Like, it requires you, it's not something that just tells you what, like, I'm flying or not flying. Is it flying? Is it not flying? And that the Skulk creature also can change depending on if its power changes. So it ended up being just a little bit more math. Not that it's a bad mechanic. I do think we'll use Skulk again. It just didn't make sense as an evergreen. It was a little much as an evergreen. I do think we'll see Skulk, but I like I said, it's a little more complex than we wanted for evergreen. Another ability that we've used from time to time, I'm not a fan of this one, but we do use it, is what's nickname is Burrowing, which is I can't be blocked by flyers. We've occasionally put that on creatures that themselves don't have flying, especially green creatures, which is not my fan. Like, green doesn't have flying. Stop giving it pseudo-flying. We do use it on rare occasion. Hey, you can't be blocked by flyers. We do have a name for that. It's called flying. So if I want you to not be blocked by flyers, I can put flying on it. Every once in a while, there's some flavor where you really want to be not blocked by flyers, but you don't technically fly. I mean, it's something available to us. Mostly, the sort of the point of today is it is really, really important that creature stall, board stall is a real honest problem. One of the, what I'll call a structural problem of Magic. Like, if you don't deal with it, the game naturally does it. So you, as the designer of an expansion, have to make sure that you have answers for that. Now, luckily, we understand that problem. Built into evasion is a lot of answers. You don't have to add anything to your set beyond what evasion, beyond what is evergreen. We have a lot of evergreen things to help you in that regard. That doesn't mean we don't add things, and there are other abilities added from time to time. And like I said, there's a lot of smaller things. The idea that I have things that can tap things, or things that can't block, or things that grant flying, things that grant temporary evasion, or even things that grant temporarily pseudo-evasion, like I'm unblockable till the end of turn, or I have Death Touch to the end of turn. It's sort of like, oh, well, especially like Death Touch end of turn. It's like, well, do I want to kill this thing? It doesn't even have Death Touch long term. It's just a one-time thing. Do I want to trade? Sometimes you'll trade for the Death Touch so this doesn't keep happening. But it's a one-time thing, it becomes trickier. But anyway, like I said, evasive is a super important part of the game. We have to have a lot of answers for it. I'm sure I missed one or two. I named most of the ongoing ones that we use. I'm sure I missed one or two of individual cases of stuff we've done. But like I said, it is... Oh, one I forgot before I'll end up. I forgot the Ginger Brute ability. The Ginger Brute ability is we wanted to represent something being very fast. And the way Ginger Brute works is I can only be blocked by creatures with haste. Which is also interesting because haste normally doesn't have a function beyond the first turn. So it lets haste have an extra little value. We don't use that ability a lot. But it's a fun, if I want to represent speed, it was a fun. And we've used it on a couple times, mostly in Eldraine. Anyway, that is my talk on evasion. A very, very important part of the game, something we've spent a lot of times, something Richard Garfield realized in the beginning he needed, something we've evolved over time, and we have a pretty good suite of evasive abilities. It's something we definitely use every set. And if you are at home building your own set, you do need to think about your evasive suite. It is important, and you got to make sure, like I said, every color has things it can do to help get through. You need to use those tools. They're there for a reason. But anyway, that is it, guys. That is my talk on evasion. But I'm not at work. So we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.